Deutsche Welle Africa Link.
Hello and welcome to Africa Link. I'm Mark Caldwell in Bonn, Germany. There's still no word on the missing German national in northern Nigeria, but President Goodluck Jonathan wants to raise $1 billion to re-equip the army to fight Boko Haram. We talked to our correspondent in Abuja.
You need a happy and a mobile military force to execute the war. So that's how he intends to use this money.
And former South African President Thabo Mbeki seeks to defend a $5 billion arms procurement deal dogged by long-standing charges of corruption.
You, that National Defence Force required re-equipping. You couldn't say there are challenges with regard to access to clean water. So let's postpone acting on that until we've built more clinics. You couldn't.
Later in the program, our drama series Learning by Ear. And there's trouble in store for the Crossroads generation because Nikki, Dan and Mercy have been suspended from school.
Top story.
The whereabouts or condition of a German national who was kidnapped outside his house in Gombe in Adamawa State in northern Nigeria on Wednesday is still unknown. And while the kidnapping bears the hallmarks of Islamist militants, it's possible that the German's disappearance could be linked to local politics. In the meantime, more details of his abduction have emerged, and it appears that he was briefly at liberty. This report by Philip Santner has been adapted for Africa Link by Assumpta Latus.
According to an eyewitness, the security forces who supposedly rescued the man were heading back to Gombe where they were attacked and he was recaptured.
They did rescue him, but they were overpowered as the attackers got reinforcements and eventually they retook the white man. From there, they ran away with him towards the bush as we are on the border with Borno State.
Later, the man was seen in another village where the gunmen stopped for some shopping. People hid after they heard shooting, another eyewitness recounted.
They told people not to run. Then they passed by and stopped at a bridge and then made a U-turn and came back into the village. They stopped by an old police station. There was a new motorbike standing there. One person tried to take the motorbike, but it was locked. Then he climbed back onto his own bike. Among them was a white man. His hands were tied.
The German citizen is the principal of a technical training center in Gombe. By Thursday evening, the identity of the kidnappers was still unknown. However, the route they took indicates that they could be members of the Islamist Boko Haram militia. Gombe, the town where the German was kidnapped, is only a few kilometers from Chibok in Borno State, where Boko Haram abducted more than 200 schoolgirls in April. Muntaka Ahiwa is a journalist who previously reported for DW's Hausa service from Adamawa and now works for DW here in Bonn. He says kidnappings were never a problem in the past in Adamawa.
The political developments recently in Adamawa State might not be unconnected with what is happening or perhaps what happened to a fellow German in Gombe area.
One day before the kidnapping, the governor of Adamawa, Muntala Nyako, was removed from office following corruption allegations. A few months ago, Nyako, who has strong ties with Germany, had switched his allegiance from the government's People's Democratic Party, PDP, to the opposition All Progressive Congress, APC. Against this background, Ahiwa says many Nigerians believe political intrigues are behind the kidnapping.
That report was written by Philip Santner. The relentless string of killings and kidnappings attributed to Boko Haram is one of the biggest challenges facing President Goodluck Jonathan. He has now asked for parliamentary approval to borrow $1 billion so the militant group can be fought more effectively. Jonathan has not only failed to secure the release of 200 schoolgirls from Boko Haram's clutches, he was also unable to confer with the girls' parents, who cancelled a meeting with him at the last moment. I asked our correspondent in Abuja, Ben Shemang, whether this was the explanation for the rush to raise money.
Well, apparently the president wants to show to the world that he's in charge of the armed forces, and of course he will want to show that he can rescue Nigeria, not just the girls on ground. But again, he's worried that following complaints that equipment are needed to execute this war, he has no option but to fall back on the National Assembly to look for this $1 billion to ensure that the war is executed and ended successfully.
Why is he trying to raise the money right now?
Coming from very prominent and respectable Nigerians like General T.Y. Danjuma, who fought the Nigerian Civil War and ensured it actually ended. So such a man is saying that Boko Haram appears to be winning the war, and I think the president would not want to hear that kind of a song.
So how does he intend to spend this money to fight Boko Haram?
You have to upgrade the military hardware. You have to talk of buying equipment, helicopter, gunship. The tanks are needed. Some guns are needed. Bullets, ammunition, all are needed. The welfare of the soldiers, kitting them properly, talking of a bulletproof vest, talking of even helmets, boots and all that to execute this war. You need a happy and a mobile military force to execute the war. So that's how he intends to use this money.
Is he likely to get the parliamentary approval he is seeking?
Yeah, I think he's likely to get it because even the Senate president is a general. And there are very many senators who indeed are generals who also fought some of these wars, either in Liberia, some in DR Congo. Many of these people are in the parliament and they've been a kind of critics to the government. Based on that, they would likely pass this demand by the president.
President Jonathan has just founded what he calls the Terror Compensation Committee to compensate victims of terror attacks in Nigeria. How is this going to be financed?
He has told the committee to ensure that they go to prominent people with very credible credentials outside Nigeria. They also to get money from some agencies because the committee comprises of very rich Nigerians, influential ones, human rights activists, and some United Nations agencies, and a whole lot of people that are respected, not just in Nigeria, not just in Africa, but globally. And these are people who would want to ensure that there is peace in Nigeria so that some of foreign companies can actually do investment in this country.
Ben Shemang in Abuja.
Africa Link, because Africa is more than just a headline.
In South Africa, former President Thabo Mbeki has appeared before a commission of inquiry looking into corruption allegations surrounding the procurement of almost $5 billion worth of arms 15 years ago. Mbeki was deputy president of South Africa at the time, and he became president when the late Nelson Mandela stepped down. Tuzo Kamalo has the story.
24 Hawk lead-in fighter aircraft, 26 Crispin fighter aircraft, submarine, light utility helicopters. These are among modern defense equipments that South Africa spent $4.8 billion purchasing in 1999. Allegations surfaced that many of the people and companies involved in the procurement process received kickbacks amounting to billions of rands. 3 years ago, President Jacob Zuma appointed Seriti Commission of Inquiry to investigate those allegations. On Thursday, it was former President Thabo Mbeki's turn to testify before the commission. Mbeki told the commission that his cabinet took a decision to purchase the arms after concluding that national security was a priority. He also refuted allegations that as president at the time, he might have unilaterally decided to purchase the arms.
Two considerations, the constitutional one and the reality that we knew that National Defense Force required re-equipping. You couldn't say there are challenges with regard to access to clean water. So let's postpone acting on that until we've built more clinics. You couldn't.
However, it is under cross-examination where tempers flew and harsh words were exchanged. Paul Hoffman, representing anti-arms deal campaigner Terry Crawford Brown, put it to Mbeki that Defence Minister Joe Modise decided the arms should be purchased regardless how much they cost.
And now we sit with these aeroplanes in boxes, nobody to fly them, no fuel to put them in the air, doing less than 100 hours a year. Mr. Mbeki, I beg you, think about it. What have we done? What has your cabinet done?
But when Hoffman repeated the question several times, Commission Chairperson Judge Seriti did not hide his irritation.
Mr. Hoffman, I'm not going to allow you to go on in that particular way. If you want to put your question to the witness, make a proposition to the witness and let the witness answer. You can't make a very long statement. At the end of the day, I also end up not understanding what the question is.
And make it too lost his cool.
Yes. I keep explaining that at no point did we as the Ministerial Committee consider anything without taking cost into account.
Former President Mbeki will be the last person to testify in the first stage, in which military personnel and former ministers have been summoned to explain to the Commission why it was necessary to spend such a huge amount on arms.
Tuzo Kumalo reporting. Police in Malawi are investigating a fire in a government warehouse that destroyed ballot boxes containing votes from the disputed presidential election in May, just days after a court ordered a recount of the votes. Opposition parties claim that the fire was started deliberately to destroy evidence which could have overturned the parliamentary victory in the Lilongwe City South East constituency for the member of the ruling DPP party of newly elected President Peter Mutharika. I asked our correspondent in Blantyre, George Mahango, whether the police had uncovered any evidence that the fire was started deliberately.
Currently, what I can confirm is the fact that the Malawi Police Service have not found any evidence to that effect. And the other thing that I can confirm with you is the fact that the Malawi Electoral Commission met and they have come up with a statement in which they have issued some doubts as whether the fire was unnatural or natural. But fingers, according to the Malawi Electoral Commission, have raised a number of suspicions because a number of state agencies were found at the warehouse, which was housing about 2,400 ballot boxes, including the equipment that was using during the vote and counting process on the May 20 polls.
Now, this is the first time that the Electoral Commission has said anything about this case, isn't it? It's quite a startling development.
Indeed, this is the first time, because the first time that we heard them speak partially was just confirming about the burning of all the voting or the ballot boxes. But they met this morning and then this afternoon really sounds and raises very big signals in the eyes and ears of various commentators, ranging from political activists, legal think tanks, who have now called on MEC to resign.
The court that ruled on the recount in this particular constituency was in session again on Thursday. Did it reach a decision?
Unfortunately, with the meeting of the Malawi Electoral Commission, it did not take place. Why? Because the votes that were in contention were part and parcel of those votes that were burnt in the inferno.
How likely is it that the voters whose ballots were destroyed will have to go out and vote again at some later date?
And that is a million kwacha in Malawi worth question that a number of people are asking. Between what it means is that MEC is torn between the two, whether to call for by-elections or just maintain the incumbent who has currently started enjoying the parliamentary benefits, say salaries, allowances, loan benefits, and the like.
George Mahango in Blantyre.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello, it's time for the next episode of Crossroads Generation, Facing the Consequences.
We're standing at the crossroads, we're looking for our way. Crossroads Generation, our future stands today.
We've been following the lives of a group of African teenagers, including Nikki, Dan and Mercy. The world turned upside down for them when their headmistress, Principal Juliet, called them into her office.
The three of you are hereby suspended from Bongo Academy.
Meanwhile, their classmate Rudy has received a surprising proposal from her ex-boyfriend, the bus conductor Manoti. He's asked her to move in with him. But Manoti's motivation isn't very romantic. His sick and aged mother is pushing him into it. Sit back and listen to this 13th episode called My New Home. Manoti is showing Trudy around a very nice-looking area.
Here we go. Welcome to your new home, Trudy. Or should I say, Mrs. Manoti. How do you like the sound of that, Mrs. Manoti?
I like it very much, Mr. Manoti.
Here's your bag.
Thanks for carrying it for me.
No problem. Anything for you, Mrs. Manoti. How about some music?
But it's already 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. My mom always said I shouldn't listen to music that late because it disturbs the neighbors.
In your new home, you can listen to music anytime you like, even at night.
Cool.
And of course, we have to celebrate our marriage, yeah?
Marriage?
Yes.
I don't see a ring on my finger. I've moved in with you, but until you put a ring on it, I'm still just your girlfriend.
But a few seconds ago, you were happy to be called Mrs. Manoti.
That was a joke. Come on, put on some music.
Okay. Whatever you say, wifey.
Manoti, stop calling me that.
All right. What did your mother say when you told her you were moving?
She didn't want me to at first, but in the end she said, "Promise me you'll keep going to school, okay?"
And?
I said I'll go to school from here. She was relieved. That way Dad will still pay her rent. And now that I've moved out, she can bring her boyfriends home whenever she wants. At least now I won't be forced to call some stranger's dad.
What else did she say?
Not much. Let's talk about something else, okay?
Okay. Come on, let's dance to celebrate your freedom.
Yeah, let's dance.
All right.
Nikki, is that you?
Hi, Mom.
Don't hi, Mom, me. Where are you coming from at this time of night?
I'm sorry, Mom. The bus was late.
What bus? I asked you a question.
The bus from school.
Don't lie to me, boy. You've never come home from school this late. Do you think I don't know you've been suspended? What's in that bag? Your drugs again? Answer me, what's in that bag?
Nothing, Mom.
Nikki, you've embarrassed us terribly. Everybody is talking about Mr. and Mrs. Jumbe's son, the drug addict. Well, if this is how you want to live your life, so be it. I won't even bother to check your bag. I've done everything I could for you, and I've had enough of your lies. Just get out of my sight.
Who dares to disturb my evening training? Who is it?
Miko, it's me, Dan.
Dan?
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
Come on, Miko, please. Let me in before that crazy head teacher sees me.
Okay, I'll help you. You jump up and I'll pull you in, okay?
Okay. One, two, three.
Dude. You're heavier than I thought. Why are you here? I thought you were already on your way back to Laboria.
I don't have any money, and my dad isn't answering his phone. I don't know what to do, man.
But why did you have to leave if you knew he had nowhere to go?
Principal Juliet gave me 2 hours to leave the school compound. I had no choice.
But you should have told her you didn't have any money. I don't think she would have thrown you out if she had known you had nowhere to go. She knows about the situation in your country.
Yes, but she also knows I have an uncle who lives here. She sent me to stay with him. But I don't want to go there. He'll just make things worse for me. He's too strict.
Dude, this is messed up. What are you going to do now?
I don't know, man. I need your help.
Dude, even if I wanted to, you know I can't buy your plane ticket home.
No, not that. Biko, I need a place to stay for a while, just until I can get hold of my dad.
All right, Dan. You can stay here, but we'll have to be very, very careful.
Okay.
Nobody can know, all right?
All right.
I don't want to get into trouble. Where are your bags?
I left them in a locker at the airport.
Oh, great. So you're planning on wearing my clothes too, are you?
Mercy, wake up. You'll be late for school. Mercy, are you crying? No, Kadu. I think I have a cold. Are you sick with TB, like our brother Banda?
No, Kadu. I'm fine. I don't have TB. You, me and Mom, we're all okay, so don't worry. And Banda will be okay too if he takes the medicine. That's what the doctor said.
He feels better now. He wasn't coughing so much when we visited him in hospital.
Yes, but it hasn't gone away yet. He has to take his medicine for 6 months until he finishes it. If he stops, the disease could come back again and he'll start coughing and feeling bad again.
I'll make sure he takes 10 tablets every day.
No, Kadu. Don't do that. Banda can only take what the doctor tells him to.
But I want him to get better soon. I don't want him to have to wait 6 months to be cured.
It doesn't work like that, my brother. It's very dangerous to take more pills than you're supposed to. That's called overdosing or drug abuse. It could even kill him.
No. You're lying. When we were in Laboria, some of the boys on the streets were selling drugs. They didn't look anything like the medicine Banda's taking. Drugs are bad, I know that. Medicine is good.
Medicine can be good, but it can be bad too if you don't use it properly.
Oh, Mercy, you're so clever. Do they teach you how to be clever at Bongo Academy?
Oh, Kadu.
Mercy, you're still here.
I thought you'd already gone to school. Take this water container off my back for me, will you? So, why aren't you ready for school? Aren't you late already?
Mom, the head teacher suspended me because of... You know?
No. No.
Mom, and what does suspend mean?
And that's all for today from Crossroads Generation. Mercy has always loved to study. How will she cope now she can't go to school? And how will Trudy and Dan get on in their new homes? Talking of Dan, he can't go home because the military has taken over in Laboria and the situation there is far from stable. Of course, this is affecting the lives of many young people. Anita, who is more than just a close friend of Dan's, is still in Laboria. She's been sharing her thoughts on the situation in her video diary on our website, dw.de/LBE. And don't forget to tune in next time to hear how the story continues. Bye for now.
A reminder of our main stories. There's been no word on the whereabouts or fate of the German national who was abducted at his house in Gombe in Adamawa State in northern Nigeria on Wednesday. Former South African President Thabo Mbeki has appeared before a commission of inquiry looking into corruption allegations surrounding the procurement of almost $5 billion worth of arms 15 years ago. And in Malawi, the Electoral Commission has for the first time raised doubts about the cause of a fire at a warehouse that destroyed ballot boxes containing votes cast in a tightly contested constituency. We welcome your comments on this programme, either in a text message to country code 49 160-957-59510, an email to feedback.africa@dw.de, or a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany. As always, thank you for listening. From me, Mark Caldwell. Bye now.